Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw out of the world and into the arms of God and to spend time with Him and His saints that we might gain from the wisdom that they have to help us navigate these difficult times. And we're very excited today to begin a four-part series with Kathleen Beckman, who's written a very, very, very important book called A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, Strategies for Deliverance and Healing. Some of you might know we did an hour-long webinar with her focused on the reality of the demonic and on exorcism and that sort of thing. And you can find that out on spiritualdirection.com/family. And but that webinar is out there. But let me tell you a little bit about Kathleen, and then we'll jump in. Kathleen is the president and founder of Prayer for Priests, or Foundation of Prayer for Priests, which is foundationforpriests.org. She served the church for 25 years as an international Catholic evangelist, author, retreat director, radio host. She's been on EWTN television, radio multiple times. And she, for more than a decade, she served as the diocesan exorcist team in Orange, California, and as the administrator of her diocese exorcism and deliverance ministry. So there's a lot of other stuff about her that you can read in her book. And her book is so important, by the way, that we take it to every one of our events and we offer it. Now, we don't have many books that are authored by someone besides me at the event, but there's a few that are so important we take with us, and this is one of them.
Right. You left one thing out.
What did I leave out?
She's a dear sister in Christ. She's
a
friend.
She's a good friend.
She's a great friend.
Wonderful.
We're in
human
this
being.
Battle together.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So if you want to get Kathleen's book, I'll tell you now, Sophia Institute Press. Sophia is killing it. I want to tell you that. EWTN's religious catalog is filled with hundreds of Sophia Institute Press books, and there's a reason for that, because Sophia is just doing an extraordinary job in our time of publishing some of the best work. And they have a series of books on spiritual warfare and the family and spiritual warfare, this being preeminent, our book, Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits, along with Timothy Gallagher's Discernment of Spirits and Marriage. This is an invaluable set of resources for the time and the challenges we face. So we're going to jump in and just begin the four-part series covering some highlights of her book.
Right.
And I think we'll just start with a general question that's important for people to know. And that is, why did you write this book, Kathleen? Why now?
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Dan and Stephanie. I wrote the book. It was really it was put on my heart after listening for the past dozen years or so to the trials of so many families, and understanding that God had given me a depth of formation, a great gift, actually, to be able to sit at the feet of so many exorcist professors, and the course in Rome that I was blessed to go to. And I just wanted to offer the book as a resource because I saw a great need in the family. I saw that the foremost prayer intentions that I receive during retreat time or during conferences, whether it be from religious or priests or laity, their hearts had a burden for the family, the way of the family, the way marriages were being attacked, and the way the children were prodigal children leaving the faith. And so I felt like this might be a resource to help families to fight the good fight and to keep the faith. And so I was blessed to be able to work with Sophia Institute Press in putting this book together. And I really must thank my diocese as well, with the bishop's support, and my the censor liberum, Father Joseph Son Nguyen, worked with me intensely theologically in the book. and formed it to be what it is today, which I think is more approachable than what I had originally written in the original draft, if you will. And so there you have it. It's been out there. And so far, the feedback that I've received, countless emails thanking me. So it must be striking a chord.
Yeah, I have no doubt it is. And it's just, you know, spiritual warfare is an emerging theme of our time. It's generally an interest among the people of God. But I think that people are realizing that as the as things get more difficult inside and out of the church, more than ever, that this is a time to understand how to fight. And in fact, I love this quote that you have in the book from St. John Paul II, where he says, and it's from his post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Vita Consecrata. He said, "The path to holiness involves the acceptance of spiritual combat." So are you saying here that spiritual combat is a must in order to, you know, trod the path of holiness?
I'm saying it's the reality. As scripture, you know, and the catechism tell us, I mean, from Revelations, I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, there's the whole story is one of a spiritual combat. Because as we read in 1 John 3:8, the reason that the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And therefore, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are engaged in that process of destroying the works of the devil. And so I think when it comes to the domestic church, we have to, first of all, refocus. I think that often we're tempted in the busyness of life to take our eye off that which is most important, and that is the domestic church, the family. What is happening with my spouse? What is happening with my children? What is really going on? And is my heart and my focus, my prayer and discernment active within my own Catholic home?
Absolutely. You know, it reminds me of a conversation that we had with one of our community members, and we were discussing the importance of spiritual warfare for the family, for marriages, the prayers that we should all be using, that I'm sure we'll get to at some point during our interview process with you over the next, over the series. And she piped up and she said, wait, I thought that was only for those that are engaged in spiritual warfare.
Right.
And I said, by the process of your baptism, by the initiation that you went into through your baptism and confirmation, guess what? You are in spiritual warfare. We all are, and we better be. We better be aware of that fight that's going on, because I think the greatest tool of the enemy is to convince us that there is no battle, that we are to simply fade away in complacency, like Dan says, on our couch with our chips and our remote, sliding off and not realizing that those that depend on us the most and our very salvation depends on our ability to engage in this battle, our willingness to.
Yeah, I think you really strike the heart of the matter there, because I think first there has to be an acknowledgement that the gospel, at the heart of the gospel, there is a spiritual battle. And so, and it's for every Christian is engaged in this spiritual battle. And I think one of the goals I had in the book was to demystify the spiritual warfare piece for people who do compartmentalize that, you know, that's for people called into the ministry of healing, deliverance, and exorcism. But the entire body of Christ is involved in this ministry of healing and deliverance. And so I think the book stresses that point, that this is not something on the periphery of the church. It's at the heart of the gospel. And as I frequently say in retreat work, it may be that little old lady praying her rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament who actually is receiving the grace for the person who may be possessed and receiving an exorcism. That grace may be appointed to that person and that exorcist, and the lady is there praying her rosary in adoration. And so we can't compartmentalize the body of Christ. We're one, we're incorporated. And when one member of the body is hurting, we feel it, we experience it. And so I think your point is well taken.
Yeah, and it seems to me in the first chapter, your goal, or at least what I would anticipate a reader would come away with, is encouragement that, yes, we're in a battle, but don't be afraid. This great quote from St. John Chrysostom, it says, "The power is yours, Christ says. For this reason, no matter how many forms your weakness may take, you may still rightly be confident in the battle. You have the kind of sovereign who's able to accomplish everything necessary that concerns you, and to do it with ease. Not only can God free you from the dangers you face, his power is great and his glory is beyond telling. They are both limitless and never come to an end. See how he has in every way anointed you, his champion, and surrounded you with confidence." This is a beautiful passage. Of course, Chrysostom is just an extraordinary communicator, but he really captures it all, that we are not alone in this battle, and God gives us all we need, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He really does. And I think what we need, Dan, as you know well, is a deep relationship and interaction, a divine intimacy with the Lord, because it is the Lord's victory. It is the Lord who is the warrior. And so it is in, through, and with the Lord Jesus Christ that we proclaim the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, those of us who have been well battle-worn know that the Lord has undone so many knots. He has taken us through great trials and tribulations. And every time that I see a beloved soul of the Lord, you know, delivered in healing and deliverance ministry, it is awe-inspiring, because you see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that he has to heal, the power that he has over demons, to cast them out, and to the power that he has for our conversion, that, you know, he can put us in a completely different direction, and he saves us and he heals us. So it's I love that quote too. It's St. John Chrysostom is beautiful and wonderful to read and wonderful to learn from.
You know, Kathleen, what comes to mind, and we'll be moving on to our second segment here in a minute. We're going to take a break. But what comes to mind is that in this ease that the Lord has in this battle, that he's allowed these more extreme cases of which you're speaking of, those that are having, that are undergoing healing through deliverance ministry. And I think he allows that so that we are reminded of the little battles that we sometimes forget are happening every day. That is a visual reminder of what is invisibly happening in our lives, and helps us to understand the enemy's still alive and well, and we need to be fighting. So when we get back from the break, we can pick that up and then move into our next topic.
Awesome. We'll be right back. Hey friends, this is Dan Burke. If you are blessed by the work of Divine Intimacy Radio, if we've helped you with your spiritual life through spiritualdirection.com, or if you want to join in and change the world through the Avila Institute High Calling Program, where we're now forming men in more than 5 dioceses around the country to enter into seminary to be holy priests, please consider helping us out with a monthly donation. Go to avila-institute.org, click on the donate button, and give us a hand if you would.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
Okay, folks, welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio with our guest, Kathleen Beckman, speaking about her very important book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare. We want to remind you that we did a webinar with her sometime back, and you can find that at spiritualdirection.com/family. That webinar is there, as well as these interviews with her will be posted there as well. So we just want to let you know that you can go there. So,
and you can see that up on the screen, Spiritual Direction.
Right. Yep.
Great.
There we go.
Okay.
And so before the break, we were discussing my idea. I can't claim that this is theologically correct, but my idea that the Lord allows that through the manifestation of demonic possession, oppressions that we see for the poor souls that have to go through deliverance ministry, that it is a very real reminder to us that there is a silent battle going on with all of us and that we all need to be aware. It's like visual warning signs that the Lord allows us to see through ministry and through work like Kathleen Beckman's. So with that in mind, Kathleen, can you talk to us about the five common entryways for demons so that we will know as families, as wives, husbands, individuals, all young adults, how do we protect ourselves?
Okay, I'd be happy to discuss it. So I'll list them first. So the five, this is according to Father Dennis McManus, the five portals that he teaches are sin. The second one is wounds, our wounds that we have through being hurt by deprivation of love or abuse. Inheritance is the third one. Generational curses. The fourth one is contracts that are willingly made with evil spirits, and the demons can choose you. And so those are the five portals. Now, I think we need to make the distinction here too that we are battling, every disciple is battling three enemies, and they are the world. So the spirit of the world, which is always anti-God, anti-gospel, and the flesh, which is sin, concupiscence, and then the third is the demonic, the fallen angels, the demonic spirits. So the five portals, I think the most dangerous of them is sin, because we are all sinners. And so God's provision for our tendency to sin is, the church's sacramental system, especially the sacrament of reconciliation. So, it's in the world, in the culture today, there's less talk about the reality of sin, and there's great denial, even sometimes within ourselves, about our sins. Not keeping the Lord's Day, like Sunday, holy, things like that. And in the book, I mention how, the Ten Commandments and breaking those Ten Commandments factor in into opening doors for evil spirits to enter. So when we talk about the second portal, that is frequently the way that the enemy can enter into our lives is wounds, the wounds that we have. And I, for example, was traumatized when a loved one was murdered, and observing that another human being could beat another person to death, that traumatized me, and that left an open wound. And I recall in Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament that the Lord put on my heart, take great care to heal your wound, Kathleen, so that you do not impose that wound upon my body, the church. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a beautiful word for those people who may have suffered at the hands of others, or even because of their own sinfulness, that it causes the wound. The soul is sensitive, and those wounds can and will be healed by the Lord Jesus Christ if we turn to him. And, for example, I needed spiritual direction to heal that wound. I went on retreat. I asked Jesus to enter into that wound and to transform that wound, to give me insight into that wound, and to give me the grace to forgive the perpetrator of the murder. And so these wounds every person may experience at some time in their life is an invitation to let Jesus into that wound. But what we don't want to do, and I speak about this in the book, is turn away from God and the church.
Kathleen, what you said was so moving to me, that the words that our Lord said to you, And it reminds me, you know, in talking to one of my family members about the pain of divorce and the damage that it does, is that, you know, she said, I recognize I have this wound, and I now have a responsibility to the Lord and to those whom I'm supposed to take care of, that he's going to give me in my life now and in the future, to seek the healing through spiritual direction, through, you know, Christian counseling, all of those things, in order to seek the healing that she needed in order to set that free. It's remarkable that we don't understand that those wounds affect everything, and they affect the body of Christ, and it can actually be a block to graces that other people need, to healing that other people need, because we are not fully alive and fully who we are called to be because of that wounding. It's so important.
That's right. And there's a good portion in the book, the second half of the book, that really focuses on inner healing and the healing of those wounds. So I just want the listeners to know that there's many resources. I think the book is, my aim was to make it very practical, and people who have read it said that they find it to be so.
Beautiful. You know, back to point number one, and if we don't get through the whole list and kind of digging in, we'll do it definitely in the next show. In terms of sin, Kathleen, you know, I think it's important for people to understand, you know, why would the enemy get in when we sin? Because sin fundamentally is saying no to God. I know your plan and I reject it. And when you say no to God, you're conversely or correspondingly saying yes to the enemy. So you're saying, essentially, you're looking at the, if you had God and the devil standing side by side, they're not equal in power, but let's say you did, let's say like with Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, and Jesus said, I would like you to go this way, and the devil says, no, I want you to come this way. When you sin, you're saying to Jesus, not following you, rejecting you, not interested, and you're saying to the devil, totally with you, I'm going your way.
Whether you intend to or not.
Right, but that's fundamentally, spiritually what's happening,
right,
which is why the door is opening. Is that making sense, Kathleen? Is that on track?
Yes, I would agree. I think that every time that we sin, that it is, we choose something other than God, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that temptation that we're saying yes to, that we're choosing, may not be demonic. It could just be our own flesh or the world, but in many cases it is demonic. And then when we say yes, and the demon, you know, he gets a little foothold there, and he knows us so well just by observing us in our habits. And so once he gets a foothold or a toehold with us, he knows how to take it, you know, deeper and deeper, and lead us on a path that is straight away from God.
Right. You know what else this brings to mind is two things, really, is that, you know, if we think about the connection between wounds and sin, wounds are generally created by sin.
Mm-hmm.
The sin of another,
our own reaction
upon us,
yeah,
creates that wound. So in essence, we want to think about, okay, I'm wounded, I'm hurting.
Right.
And so I want to reject sin completely because I don't want to wound somebody else, you know, on purpose or inadvertently. When we start to recognize this wound is a result of someone else's sin, I need to forgive them. I need to receive healing. But more importantly, I need to do all of this for my own salvation, and so that I don't perpetuate that same difficulty, that same sin, that same hurt on someone else, because I know person after person that says, I have now realized I've become my father. I've become my mother.
Right.
And not in the best of sense.
Sure.
In the worst of sense. And we want to break that pattern. The other thing that comes to mind too is that foothold is like a rung of a ladder that's held onto, and the enemy can just jerk us around.
That's right.
He can just grab
a
hold of that, like the back of your backpack, wearing your backpack, and he's just jerking you all around, and you don't know why you do what you do.
And the more you sin, the more handles you give him.
Right.
The more you sin, the bigger the handles get.
Right.
And so that's why we've got to fight so hard.
Gotta
and you said in the book, Kathleen, that reconciliation, confession, is the greatest power of liberation, right? It's even more powerful than exorcism.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because the sacrament of reconciliation is a sacrament, the full mm-hmm. sacrament, where the rite of exorcism is a sacramental. And so a lot of people don't realize that. And so they knock on the doors of the bishop's office saying, I need an exorcist. I need an exorcism. In truth, Dan, in a number of cases, the really good sacramental confession takes care of a great deal. I've had people who have come and applied for the ministry of healing, deliverance, and exorcism. And then when it was time for their appointment, they said, I don't need the appointment anymore because I have a spiritual director. I'm going to confession. I started going back to mass and I'm fine. And so they didn't need an exorcism and they didn't need the exorcism. And that's the point I think the book brings out, is that it, you know, I think sometimes people think, well, you know, in an exorcism, they must have these super powers that are only available to the exorcist. But the reality is, in exorcism, as you and Stephanie know, the resources that are used there, it's a rite. It is there's prayer, there's sacramentals, and every Christian has access to those.
Wonderful. So along that theme, and we just have about 30 seconds left, can you wrap it up by telling us what Jesus said to Saint Faustina about fighting like a knight? Because I think it fits beautifully in this wrap up at the end of our session.
That's right. I mean, I think of that. He to a little humble Polish nun in a convent, he exhorted her in a private retreat. Imagine Jesus gave St. Faustina a three-day retreat. And he said, I want to teach you about spiritual warfare. And the final exhortation that he gave St. Faustina was, fight like a knight, because all of heaven is watching you, and you are on a world stage. All of heaven is watching us. We are baptized and confirmed to be soldiers for Christ, so we must fight like knights.
Awesome. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.